Your son is a remarkable young man. He has highly advanced cognitive skills. He has more in common with Einstein or Mozart than he does with us. I'd like to work with your son. Help him develop the skills he'll need to lead a full life.
It's not gonna happen. The world is not a friendly place, and that's where he needs to learn to live.
How did you get into financial consulting? My dad was an accountant. You know, he had the whole shtick. The dorky pocket protector.
I have a pocket protector.
That's a nice one.
Do you like puzzles? Tell me what you see. Was taken 3 years ago by an undercover agent.
It's the same person.
He was spotted in Tehran, Tel Aviv, and Naples. This guy risks his life on cooking the books for some of the scariest people on the planet. Drug cartels, arms brokers, money launderers, assassins. Who survives this kind of clientele? Imagine the secrets this guy has.
What are you doing here?
Who are you?
You know, it just occurred to me that I really never had a clear understanding of what autism really was. And definitely seeing this movie, which I'm talking about, The Accountant, it had me, before I went to go see it, I actually looked up the definition of what it was, because I got a lot of friends who have kids that have autism. They always tell me, oh yeah, he or she has autism and stuff like that, you know. But, you know, when I'm around them, they seem fine to me. I mean, they play around. Now, granted, I'm a complete dumbass, so what I do with kids, I pretty much let them beat my ass up and stuff like that. So maybe they just enjoy, maybe autism kids like enjoying beating people up or whatever. Apparently, this movie shows you that. So I went ahead and looked this up, and this is the first time ever that I've actually looked up this full definition. It says ASD, which is autism spectrum disorder, and autisms are both general terms for a group of complex disorders of brain development. These disorders are characterized in varying degrees by difficulties in social interaction, verbal and nonverbal communication, and repetitive behaviors. Excuse me. Now, so I didn't know that it was necessarily a communication problem with social skills. I just assumed that, you know, people with autism, once they had one thing on their mind, they could just expand that and focus onto it like no other being could. They can, like, pretty much take a Rubik's Cube and dissect it any further than what it was, you know. I thought that it was mainly some more so on their concentration and focus levels. So this is all new to me. But what does that got to do with the movie? Well, pretty much everything. I'm going to try my best not to offend anyone in this review that may be listening to this, that may even have autism, suffer from it, or have a family or loved one from that. Why the fuck is my chair squeaking? I have no idea, but whatever. Now, there is a girl in here that has, they never say if she has autism or anything like that, but she does these things where she makes a noise in the hand segments or whatever stuff. So I just want people to know that is the movie doing it. It's not me, even if I interpret it. I'm going to bring her up because she actually plays a very important part in the movie. So I guess here we go. We got Gavin O'Connor, director of one of my favorite films that should have been nominated that year, Warrior. Absolutely love that film. I think it's one of the best sports films ever made. Excuse me. We got Ben Affleck playing Christian Wolfe. And Christian Wolfe, he's a guy or a kid at the point where he suffers from a disability where the parents try to take him to, I don't know what this was. I guess it was like I don't want to say rehab play, but kind of a treatment center. But kind of, it was one of the nicest fucking treatment centers I've ever seen. It's like in the woods somewhere, nice little cabin house, a bunch of other kids that have other so-called disabilities and stuff like that. But the father, he's like former military guy, so they've had to move constantly over and over. And they think that, you know what, well, maybe that has something to do with it as well. He has a brother who doesn't really say shit, and you're kind of wondering why the fuck is he there. But one day, the mother decides to, like, you know what, mind you, people, all this I'm telling you right now, they don't even show you this. This is all in flashbacks. I'm just putting it from beginning to end. Mother decides to leave. Father decides to kind of hone in his skills and train them on his disabilities, if you will. Kind of silly, I know. So Christian Wolfe, he grows up. He's an accountant. And now, watching this trailer, you would probably get all the ideas that this might be a Bourne film. He's a spy who's whose autism may be like his most dangerous weapon to him, if you will. You know, you're expecting probably this thriller drama film here, this psychological thriller film here and stuff like that. And you don't get that at all. I mean, wow. Talk about getting duped by a trailer like a motherfucker. This trailer had everyone going, holy shit, this possibly could make my top 10 list. Let me just go ahead and wipe that off my whiteboard right about now, because no. Trailer is a damn good put together movie, if I had to call the trailer a movie. This movie is kind of a fucking mess, actually. So either way, let's just say he gets hired by John Lithgow. And John Lithgow, who plays Lamar Black in here, he's the CEO of a, I forgot the name of the company. But basically, they build, like, cybernetic parts for people. You know, if you lost an arm, you can replace it with a robotic arm and stuff like that. Pretty much where Luke Skywalker went. And he starts to do work for them because they've noticed that some money is missing. I love it because you're kind of thinking, like, well, why the hell would they hire him? It's kind of a coincidence that all this would just run into one full circle, because wait till I get to the end, you'll be like, wow, that is kind of a coincidence. You mean tell me that and that and that is all connected? That's just too much now. So, and he figures it out, and once they find out that he figured out and who's behind it all and stuff like that, they mean to take care of it. And Anna Kendrick is involved with this. She works for this firm. She's their accountant there. She plays Dana Cummings. And he realizes, okay, I got to get the hell on the move. You can destroy my name, Michael Christian Wolf, and stuff like that. And he realizes he's got to save her. And it's like, well, I don't want to, but I feel like I got to, so I'm going to go save her. Next thing you know it, he hides her at a hotel, and his mission is to kill everyone that was involved with this company or with this deal, to say the least, because people in the head honcho board of directors table are dropping like flies, so it's up to him to take each one of them down. And that is your plot synopsis. Kind of thin, but wow, this movie is fucking long. Let me get in my positives, because I feel like I got a lot more negatives than I probably do positives. My positives is here. Now, I hear some people saying, at least in the crowd that I was sitting with when I saw an early screen of this, some people saying Ben Affleck did a terrible job playing someone with autism. They thought he was kind of, you know, that stereotype of, oh, just because I'm autistic or whatever, they got to always amp the brain up to being like 20 times smarter and stuff. And I'm thinking in my head, well, would you rather play them, let them play you stupid or something like that? Because 9 times out of 10, that's where they'll go to. And then, you know, I hear some people's going like, oh, he was just amazing. He was incredible. Now, I will say, from my point of view of what I saw as Ben Affleck, as far as doing the whole, from that definition I just read of autism, I thought he did an okay job. As a matter of fact, I thought he did a good job as well. There were some parts where I thought he was kind of in and out of it, and where it was kind of getting to the point where you just like, I see they want to build a franchise out of this, but with this character and his lack of inability to connect with people and stuff like that, I just don't see how this can expand out into multiple films here, at least for me, because at, you know, one point I gotta like the guy, you know, it just can't be just one random dude just murdering people and stuff like that for no reason, which, you know, the movie kind of sets it up like he's working for mob bosses and stuff like that. Yeah, he's handled a couple of their accounts and stuff like that, but it's not like he's intentionally working for them. He's just doing it because I guess he just does. They really don't explain. He just doesn't discriminate towards who his clients and who he works for and stuff like that. He brings in a lot of money and he helps a lot of people out too and stuff. He saves people pretty much from losing their businesses and homes and stuff like that. So in his end, I guess he doesn't really see the negative deal of who his clientele is, if you will. So I thought Ben Affleck did a good job. Matter of fact, he probably is one of the better things of the film. But then that was until John Bernthal gets introduced as Brax, plays Braxton in here. And John Bernthal has this, I believe this was his first scene you see him in, is when he gets in the car with one of these banker type guys. And he's just pretty much punking them out. And John Bernthal was just, I said, you know what, this one scene right here just made him my favorite character. He's kind of loose, but kind of has a crazy side to him as well. And you didn't really know whose side he's on at first neither. But then later in the movie, he kind of skewed away from that character and got more into his Punisher-esque role. But I still thought he was just fantastic in the film. I thought he was the best thing of the film, if you ask me. Although I do like Ben Affleck's mannerisms, how he handled autism and stuff, I think John Bernthal, it was just something about him that had me more gravitating towards him. And that's just because, you know, he actually is connecting with an audience more. And that's not to say Ben Affleck was, because I'm sure people with autism, if they're not offended by it, they'll probably just connect with him just as much as some people will. What other positive? There's some action scenes in here that look good, but there's not a whole lot of action in here. So if you're going in here thinking this is going to be some badass Bourne Legacy Well, technically, this movie is kind of a cross between Bourne Legacy and Bourne Ultimatum. If you just crowbar those into one movie and stuff like that. If you're expecting a lot of action here, there's probably maybe about 3 or 4 action scenes. And that's pretty small for a 2 hour and 20 minute film. Pretty damn near almost 2.5 hours and barely little action. But the best action sequence in here, and you can find a clip of it on YouTube, is where these delivery guys go after Anna Kendrick's character. And Ben Affleck breaks through the fucking door and he picks up this dude and just slams him through the bathroom sink and stuff like that. That was probably the best sequence of the whole action piece movie for me. The ending was cool at first, you know, seeing him take on a bunch of these guys. But then it just kind of became, you're running the mill gunfight and stuff, especially with the twist of what John Bernthal's character is. Now, throughout the movie, too, I will say this absolutely was what I loved about the movie. This, if what you saw from the trailer, you're not getting in this movie, but in these sequences, you really are. And that's the flashback sequences with his father. His father and the flashback scene that they have is incredible. I thought that was easily, without a shadow of the doubt, the best part of the movie. And they only last for a fucking couple, like a minute or two or something like that. And the thing is, I have a 50-50 on the flashbacks. Where the 50-50 on my flashback sequences is the flashback sequences kind of come out of nowhere. I mean, there's one moment where he's just staring at Anna Kendrick's sleep and he's having a moment of, you see it in the trailer where his father's talking about him in the car when it's raining to go fight them boys and stuff like that. He's just like, where the fuck did that come from? Like, how does looking at Anna Kendrick bring that memory back or something like that? Like, the flashback sequences are so fucking weird and shit that I kind of wish that they wouldn't have had the flashback sequences. I wish the movie just would have had him, we would have started with him as a child and then had the whole story of how his father this and that and stuff like that, and then we would have went to him as an adult finishing this mission that he was doing. I thought that would have been badass. But here, the flashbacks in here, which I thought was the best scenes of the movie, also 9 times out of 10 took me out of the movie because I was like, wow, that was just weird how that was just placed in there. And one of the twists in here too is John Bernthal being the brother of Ben Affleck's character in here. And the whole time I remember looking at these flashbacks, there's a lot of them. They keep showing you that him and his brother, you know, his father trained him and stuff like that. And I was like, what the fuck is the point of him having a brother? I mean, this doesn't add anything to the story. The brother doesn't say anything in the lines. And then you find out it's the brother. John Bernthal's the brother. Because John Bernthal's supposed to protect John Lithgow. John Lithgow hires John Bernthal to protect him against the accountant guy, who John Bernthal didn't know who it was until the ending fight scene. And only the reveal. And it's just like, oh. There's a scene where, which I got to admire for the movie, too. The movie, you know, because it's hard for a family to deal with their child that has maybe an autism or Asperger's or anything like that. So there's a scene where the mother leaves them in a flashback. And I love it because John Bernthal, as a kid, he just flicks the mom off in the window and stuff. And what I like about that, though, is, you know, these movies always show you, like, the father's leaving or something like that, his deadbeat dad and stuff. But I like that it was on a different side here, that the mother just couldn't take it anymore and she just left them. And there's a scene which I guess this is what really drove the brothers apart, where there's a flashback sequence where the mom dies, and they never really knew why she died or anything like that. No, she wasn't killed by a hitman or anything like that. I guess she just died from, you know, the natural causes of her health and stuff. She had 2 new kids with a new husband, and the father and Ben Affleck's characters show up to the funeral, even though they wasn't even invited. Everybody's looking like, who the hell are these guys? They show up in their military uniforms and stuff, and things go a little rocky and stuff, and next thing you know, they get into a fight, and they end up killing Ben Affleck and John Bernthal's father there. And I guess the grudge between John Bernthal and Ben Affleck is more so is like, oh, why would you take dad to that funeral? You knew she left us. You know, if you needed help or something like that, you should have called me. I always stuck up for you and stuff like that. And I thought that Because I thought the ending was so fucking weak, by the way. I mean, this movie, first of all, it's a lot of goddamn work for this movie. I mean, and it is boring in some parts, too, because a lot of it is not that action film that you thought it would be. It's a lot of him just doing numbers. The side characters in here are fucking useless. I'm talking fucking... I was like, I don't even know why they're in here. Anna Kendrick, she's fucking annoying at times. Like, there's a scene, kind of when they first meet, where she's talking about, I'll be at lunch, you know, I'm just sitting over here. She got this look on her face, like she's just destined to ask questions. And there's a scene in here, she's asking so many damn questions when they about to have lunch. Not together, mind you. They're about to have lunch, and finally Ben Affleck just has to put his sandwich down. I think you can find that clip on YouTube, but look at that clip and how he just puts his sandwich down. Because he's like, damn, she ain't going to stop talking, is she? She's just going to keep asking me questions. I told her I don't want to be fucking bothered, and she's still going to... It's like... And there's even a point where they try to... She tries to put the moves on Ben Affleck. It just felt kind of weird because I just thought these two were just weird together. I don't know if it's just because Ben Affleck was just playing a character who had autism, and he was playing a character that was just so socially disconnected from other people and stuff like that. But I just thought that the chemistry between the two was just a little awkward and weird, and I just wasn't feeling it. I was like, I don't even know why she's in this, to be honest. It feels like there's no reason for her to be there. You talking about the great J.K. Simmons right about now, who plays Ray King. And, I forgot how higher up level police officers they were. They were like FBI, espionage, and shit like that. He brings in Cynthia, I'm fucking her name, Cynthia Robinson, who plays Mary Beth Medina in here. And he pulls up this whole background on her and her past and stuff like that. And she's just like, what do you want? And he pretty much, J.K. Simmons kind of much blackmails her into taking this case, talking about the accountant. And I kid you not, this movie opens up with the scene of just a bunch of noises and dead bodies falling around. And you see a guy with a gun pointing into his head, and then it just gets into the movie. And you're just thinking, like, throughout the whole movie, I'm thinking, like, what the hell is that opening about now? Was that Ben Affleck or whatever? What's going on? And there's a scene, I kid you not, in this third act, people, where J.K. Simmons, he kind of just says, fuck it. And he literally spends about 5 minutes explaining everything in this movie that had no explanation whatsoever to. And there, and he even says in his dialogue, too, he says, look, I'm old, Medina. I mean, I got something that's changed my life, whatever. And he tells this story about how he was just this beat down cop or whatever and stuff, and how he Ben Affleck's character was in jail with Jeffrey Tambor's character, and I'm stuttering here because I'm trying to fucking put the pieces together here, and there was a part where J.K. Simmons promised Jeffrey Tambor's character, you know, I'll get you protection and stuff like that, but he never got him protection. So when he snitched on the mob and stuff like that, and he got out of prison, they pretty much tortured his ass to death. Meanwhile, this opening relates to that because Ben Affleck heard about the mob pretty much killing him. So Ben Affleck went to go take care of them in his own matters. J.K. Simmons saw it from across the street because he was kind of wiretapping the building. And he goes inside to see what's happening. And then Ben Affleck approaches him in the back of his head with a gun to him and tells him, hey, are you a good father? He tells him, I'm a terrible cop, but the only thing I've ever been good in my life has been being a father. So he lets J.K. Simmons go. They never really see each other face to face. So in the midst of this, pretty much what I'm getting to is J.K. Simmons respects Christian Wolf in here. He respects Ben Affleck. So it baffled my head as to saying, wait a minute. So why in the fuck were you looking for him then? Why were you going after him? Why were you sending cops after him then? It had that, I hate to make this comparison, it had that Max Steel effect where it's just like, wait. So the bad guys aren't the bad guys, or the cops here or whatever, they're not the bad guys, they're working with him, if anything, like, or at least J.K. Simmons' character. And he tells Medina, he's like, I was getting ready to leave the force and stuff, but then I got a phone call, and this girl told me everything, because apparently he has a history of busing all these drug dealers and stuff like that, and it turns out it was kind of a fraud that he didn't actually do it himself. He got anonymous tips from Ben Affleck's Siri iPhone, whatever the hell you want to say this was, because throughout the movie Ben Affleck has a phone where he's talking to someone that kind of gives him his intel and mission and details and stuff like that. and this person helped J.K. Simmons make all these high-profile busts and stuff like that. Medina's like, I don't know if I can go through this, but... So, basically, he brought her in because he's going into retirement soon, and he brought her in, Medina, in to be the next person to assist with the phone call in case that lady ever calls back to give more tips like that. Basically, he just wanted someone on the inside. I'm just looking at that and going like, what? It was just weak as shit when it got to that. And I was just like, oh, okay. And then you get to the first twist where John Bernthal releases himself as the brother. And he's just like, who didn't see that coming from a mile away? And I kid you not, people, this movie went the... see, that was one of those twists where you can go like, I saw it a mile away, but whatever. I mean, and they kind of laugh it out and they make up and stuff like that. He's like, hey, let's hang out next week or some shit like that. And you're just like, oh, okay. But and that was one of those twists where you just like, look, I was fucking predictable, but all right, if we could just wrap it up here, I get your point. No, it doesn't do that now. It doesn't do that. Oh, no. Which, by the way, these sequences have some shitty-ass music playing, too, by the way. Old good old Warner Brothers. Can always count on them for two things. Shitty-ass music and flashback sequences. This has been the year of flashbacks for Warner Brothers. I mean, I'm telling you, they're just trying to galvanize any kind of fucking franchise they possibly can. And I'm telling you right now, this movie ain't for it. But there was this sequence where they go back, as you see as a kid. Now, I'm going to take you real back now to another flashback sequence where they're kids. And he first took them to this this sanctuary for kids with disabilities and stuff like that. And there was a girl there who kept, like, making the... and I'm not trying to offend anyone. That's what the girl was doing. She was making the noises and doing the twitching and stuff like that. Well, we go back to this sanctuary after, you know, him and the brother makes up and he kills John Lithgow's character. We go back to there where another family is there and they're enrolling their child into this. And the child accidentally goes into the room of the girl who still lives there. She's grown now. She's pretty much an adult now. And she's got pretty much a photo of her and Ben Affleck as children on the walls taped on there. And they pass by this computer she has. And people, you already know where I'm going with this. And the father of the kid that just wandered in there, he's like, wow, who funds this place and stuff like that? And he's just like, well, it's kind of anonymous. We kind of already know who that is. It's Ben Affleck. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Ben Affleck's character. And he's just like, that computer you got in there, wow, that computer is enough for the government to have and stuff like that. And then I kid you not, people, there's a scene where she's typing on the computer to talk to the kid that's in the room with her. It's the same voice that Ben Affleck's been talking to on the phone throughout the whole movie. And he's just like, oh, fucking come on now. That, to me, that was the biggest fuck you of the whole. Like, I was just like, I sat through 2 hours of this fucking movie, which was kind of had this mystery vibe. It has a lot of genres going for it. I'm not going to lie. It's got a romantic comedy vibe in there. It's got a thriller in there. It's got some action. Got a drama in there. It's got a lot of stuff in there. And I kind of felt like the movie didn't really want to know what it wanted to be. And when I sat there and saw that and I said, I sat through this fucking movie for 2 hours and 20 minutes for that reveal. It was lazy and just cheap, and it was just like, wait a minute, that don't even make any damn sense. And when it just get right down to it, it was a fucking silly, to be honest. It was just like, wait a minute. How in the blue fuck did this girl know what was going on throughout the whole movie then if she stayed in this damn cabin in the woods the whole fucking movie? It was just mind-boggling what that was, personally. I was just like, okay, whatever. And then the way it just ended, too, with Ben Affleck getting on the road with his trailer full of stuff and whatever, and he sends a painting to Anna Kendrick's character, who, once again, I don't feel even needed to be in the damn movie anyway, because she, just be downright, she fucking sucked. Okay, I'm just going to be right down with it. She was fucking annoying. She sucked. I mean, basically, no, I'm not going to say she sucked. It was Anna Kendrick playing Anna Kendrick, except more annoying. This character was just annoying as shit. The movie also, in the middle half, it sounds like I'm shitting this movie, but the beginning of it, I was with it, man. I had like a little cool opening, but then there's certain scenes too where he's doing, like, you know, he's helping this couple out with their business and stuff like that, and they kind of invite him out to the ranch and say, hey, if you ever want to go fishing, yeah. And he was like, fishing ain't my thing. I'm more of a hunter type. And it's just random scenes of him just shooting at pumpkins and cantaloupes or whatever with smiley faces on them. And there's a scene where he kind of, because this movie does have a little bit of comedy features in it too, because there's a funny scene in here where, you know, this guy, I guess it was a mob boss or whatever it was, came to pretty much kill, I guess he was looking for their accountant and whatever, and I don't know what, to be honest, what he was doing, but then Ben Affleck finds him and he murders the guy, and they're just, the couple is just kind of like, the hell was that? And he has this like awkward wave at them like, all right, bye everyone. It was kind of, it was funny at that. I mean, there was some scenes in here where he just like laughing at it. Even at the end, there was some laughable moments in here. Man, I gotta tell you, dude, this movie was fucking disappointing. Sitting here watching, I was like, I was expecting so much more. Like, I was expecting, like I said, a psychological thriller, drama or whatever and stuff. And when you just get down to it, this movie is silly as fuck. I mean, I think some people, the general audience is gonna like this. And I feel like some people are just liking anything Ben Affleck does because he's gotten such a bad rap of being a shitty actor back in the day and stuff like that. I feel like people are just, if he's just in anything that's just mildly decent or okay or something, people are gonna be like, oh, he's fantastic, he's greatness, his movie is great and stuff like that. I feel like we kind of people are kind of giving him passes these days because I gotta tell you, man, it is better than that last Bourne movie I just saw. I will give you that. But I saw someone compare this to John Wick at my screen. Where I was like, this ain't nowhere near fucking John Wick, okay? This ain't nowhere near John Wick. John Wick had much better action scenes there, which this movie barely has that. And the trailer, although we already know this, it completely fucking told us another damn story of what this movie was. And when you just get down to it, it's really, personally for me, it's not really all that interesting. The interesting story in here, oh, and by the way, there's another silly-ass part in here, too, where, you know, the father, there's a flashback sequence. The father took them to an Asian country, and he had them trained by a fucking Asian monk and shit like that in martial arts. And I was just like, oh, you gotta be shitting me. You couldn't help but roll your damn eyes. I remember saying out loud in the theater, I said, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And even the monk is just like, they've had enough. He's like, and the father, he's being strong-hearted. And I like the father's methods too, because he's just like, I'm not gonna cuddle my child because he has an autism or anything like that, because the world out there is not gonna cuddle him. He needs to know for a fact how to be tough, and I need to know his limitations, and it's your job to show his limitations. And it was just weird as shit. I was like, out of all the flashbacks, I thought that one was the worst. I was just like, okay, this is just kind of cartoonish. And why it's so cartoonish, too, is because it felt very comic bookish. And this movie is straight comic bookish, too. And you're just sitting there like, it takes itself way too serious at times to have moments like this in a movie. Had this been a comic book movie, would have been perfectly fine or whatever. Like a superhero film or anything like that, probably would have been perfectly fine. Anything like obviously, we saw this in Batman, you know. We're going to see it in Doctor Strange a little bit. We ain't going to see no Kung Fu part or whatever. We're going to see more mystical stuff. But had it been that, then fine. But I personally, I just felt it was just out of place for this tone of the movie and stuff. And I was like, this is not the movie I was expecting to get in this goddamn trailer. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy this film. I really did have to shift gears when that first opening act of the movie, cause I was like, oh, this ain't what I thought it was going to be at all. And going along with it, I was just like, huh, this is actually a letdown like a motherfucker, because it just gets highly predictable after the first 30 minutes. And you're just like, wow, I already know where this is going. I think Ben Affleck, once again, did a good job. I just think the character is not really nothing to him, because the autism really doesn't even play a part to his character in present day like it did in the past. So I was just like, so what was the point of him even having autism? I guess just to make him feel different from Bourne or something like that, because the autism really doesn't play a part in him in his adult life of handling these missions and stuff, other than saying, you know, the autism probably possibly is a way of saying why he's such a badass. But kind of that's not really why. It's because of how his dad raised him, to be honest, you know. So it's just like, I don't get what's going on here. I was really let down by this film, I'm not going to lie. I didn't even enjoy myself. I hear some people saying, this is a lot of fun, I had so much fun with this film. I'm just like, where the fuck was the fun part at? The action sequences last for like 2 seconds, and there's only like four of them. I mean, it's not really a whole lot in here. There's some funny moments in here that'll make you smile and chuckle for a little bit. Not even chuckle. I think they're like genuinely funny moments in here. None of those are really good. Ben Affleck does a good job, and John Bernthal does a great job. Everybody else in here don't even need to be here. I don't even know why they're here. Anna Kendrick, they're putting her at top billing as if she's like some major character in the film, and she really isn't, to be honest. So overall, man, I was hoping to give this a high C, it, no doubt. But I gotta go with a stream it, just a plain old stream it. I think this movie is just too long, and you easily could have took out J.K. Simmons and Cynthia Robinson's character. There was no reason for them to even be in the movie. Matter of fact, people, I'm gonna give you some more spoilers on that one too. Ben Affleck's character never even crosses paths with J.K. Simmons or Cynthia Robinson throughout this whole damn film. I was just like, wait a minute, so what was the point of them even being here other than looking at a bunch of fucking photos of the back of his head? Ugh. This movie was frustrating as fuck because it sucked, okay? But maybe you'll get some entertainment out of it. So, hey, when this movie comes out, I want people to go see it. I want you to go check it out. Actually, I kind of don't because I kind of wish you'd save your money and wait till next week when a real action flick comes out. I'm talking about that Jack Reacher. That's right. So, people, when you go see this movie, are you going to go see it? Let me know in the comments below, and then I'll be right back with another review here from Movie Spoilers.
You're different. Sooner or later, different scares people.
I have difficulty socializing with other people, even though I want to.
There's people looking for you.
If their secrets get too big, killing you may be the cost of doing business. If you go down this road, you can't go back. Some of my clients are quite dangerous.
Why would your clients follow you? You're an accountant. We have to go to the police.
Police can't protect you.
So who is he?
The accountant.
Like a CPA accountant?